Jenny Herbacek is a believer, a registered nurse, and a breast cancer survivor. Her new book, Cancer Free, Are You Sure?, offers fresh insights into cancer treatment and prevention. I'm Marty Pieper, and after this short break, we'll hear from Jenny and her wisdom in our Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
When most people get cancer, they get through it as best they can. But Jenny Herbacek found a way to use her journey to help herself and others. I am so excited to have you with us today, Jenny. Welcome.
Hi, so great to talk to you.
Now, Jenny, you approach this topic. You have some special characteristics. You're a believer, but you're also a medical professional and a breast cancer survivor yourself. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your own cancer journey, maybe about your diagnosis and what happened after that?
Right, absolutely. You know, cancer is something that no one ever wants to, you know, we think of it as something other people get
of
and
course.
Not something that touches our own lives. And
right.
I was really blindsided when it touched my life because, gosh, back in probably 15 years ago, I had gone to like Hamilton Bible Camp
mm-hmm.
and I had a word spoken over me that I would have a healing ministry and there was a work that I would do for the Lord. And, you know,
oh,
so I kind of thought, wow, you know, I must be good for the health because I'm going to have a healing ministry. But when I got that diagnosis, and actually, I'm going to tell everyone, I felt fine. I had no idea I had a 1.9 centimeter tumor in my breast. My lab work was perfect. My cholesterol, my blood sugar, everything that your doctor checks you for at a standard yearly physical was fine. And so when I got that diagnosis, it really did blindside me. And as I went through the process, you know, but first of just, you, most people just become frozen.
Yes.
And you kind of, you know, get overwhelmed and you kind of want to deny the problem. It's like, how can this be happening? And then I jumped over to the fight and flight where I started trying to make rash decisions and it became an emergency and I had to get the cancer out as fast as possible.
Aww.
And it really wasn't making the best choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm laying on the operating room table, I wanted to do a complete spiritual bypass. I'm like, God, take care of this, you know.
Of course.
But I know that he won't move your car for you. We have to get in the car and we have to put our keys in the ignition. We have to turn it. And
okay.
So I went through the whole gamut of emotions.
But
one, the main thing that I really want to share with people is when I asked the doctor how long I'd had this cancer, he said 7 to 10 years. And I talked to several people in oncology that told me I had this for 7 to 10 years. And,
oh my gracious.
I still didn't understand why they couldn't tell me I had it sooner. Because,
yes.
You know, you always, if you're going to have cancer, you want to find it when it's like stage zero or before it even will show up on a scan. And here I was, you know, at a point where they were going to, you know, where I was going to have surgery and chemotherapy and potentially
yes.
radiation. And I couldn't believe how we could put men on the moon and we have these skinny TVs that are now, what, an inch thick, but we can't tell someone they have cancer, you know, for that many years. And
right.
I'll just let you come back with another question, but that is really what got me on this journey and led to the work, which has turned out to be the book that I would do for the Lord. So,
yes. And we haven't mentioned that yet.
How can you come back at that? Because it's just, to me, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Right. Now, Jenny's book, because I didn't say that yet, her book is Cancer Free, Are You Sure? And of course, she's going to be sharing with us about that. Now, Jenny, I heard you talking about the detection, and really until I looked at your book and read your website, I had no idea about this, the fact that cancers are growing often that long before they're ever detected with our medical technology today. But there was something else you learned. You started meeting other patients who their cancer had recurred for the maybe the third or the fourth time. Isn't that right? Could you tell us about that?
Right. You know, and that's heartbreaking to me because it's awful to get cancer once.
Yes.
But when you get it a second and a third time, it usually many times doesn't end well. And
yes.
I feel like cancer is a spiritual terrorist in the lives of humanity because, and we're not addressing it. We're all waiting until we get it, till we get that formal diagnosis before we do anything. And so I could talk for hours, but I'll fast forward. I did a mastectomy because I wanted to get rid of any tissue, any breast tissue that might have cancer. And if you read my book or we get into this, you'll learn that all I did was keep the cancer from coming back in that tissue that they put in the trash can. Because cancer is not the tumor. You can't just remove the tumor. So I did that, and I went through chemotherapy. It was a very difficult year. I lost my hair, which was, part of your identity.
Of course.
And then I went to this cancer support group because I thought, wow, they told me I was cancer-free. And the way they do that, they declare you that, is that they do a PET scan on you, and it's clear. Nothing lights up as cancer. And then when they did your surgery, they test the edges of the tissue that they've removed, and they make sure there's no cancer there, and they call it clean surgical margins.
Yes.
So I had clean surgical margins. I had a clean PET scan. My hair was growing back. It was maybe like an inch long. I felt such relief that I made it through this.
Through the
halls of some of Houston's best hospitals, and I came out alive. So I went to the breast cancer support group thinking I would get support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's called, right? A support group.
Yes, you would kind of expect that.
I mean, when I left there, so discouraged, and fear came back over me because this was actually an inaugural meeting of this group at one of our local hospitals here. And so many nice people, and even a couple of men, and everyone went around the circle and introduced themselves. And I'm looking at these people thinking, oh, wow, they're here. They're actually coming to the meeting during their cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found out is that they had been told the same thing I was told, that they had clean surgical margins, they had a clean PET scan, and they were all declared cancer-free, and they had rung the bell in the chemotherapy suite, which is something they have you do on your last day of chemo or your last day of radiation. You get to ring the bell like we're celebrating that we finished the therapy. But I'm going to tell you, more than half of the people in the room were on their second or third incident or recurrence of the same cancer. So if we were really cancer-free,
so
how did that breast cancer get in their brain, get in their lungs, get in their liver?
Yes.
And at that point, I felt like I had a target on my back. And I just looked over my shoulder and I thought, Lord, what is going on here? Help me discover the truth in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what got me going on the research.
Mm-hmm. So it was personal as well as professional, in other words.
Right. Because, I was a neonatal nurse.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't thinking about cancer for these little tiny...
I really learned all of this through the directing of the Holy Spirit. He connected me with the right people at the right time, and he just put the right questions in my mind. And then I thought, I've got to tell people about this because we really can have victory over this disease, but we are letting it become something big and scary. We have the completely wrong approach in this country, and I feel like that's why so many people are succumbing to disease. They're spending their last penny. They're suffering, and because we have the wrong approach. We've got this thing upside down, and it's because our healthcare system is reactive. It's really a sick care system. We wait for you to get that diagnosis before we jump in and start with all the modalities. And I just think it's a shame because we think about this. We test people for diabetes. We check their blood sugar. We don't wait for them to become an insulin-dependent diabetic before we help them.
Exactly.
You know, we check for cholesterol, and then we start helping them with their diet. You know, there are lots of things that we screen for, but we don't screen for cancer other than, you know, doing your breast exam or a mammogram or a PSA count. And those are really late diagnostic. A colonoscopy is great because it really can find colon cancer coming, but it's only looking in the colon. It's one small part of the body.
Yes. If we have ways to detect it early, why are we not doing that?
You know, I hate to say this, but it is our standard of care. Our standard of care is when you get cancer, you know, we give you a drug. We're spending millions of dollars on drug therapies, drugs that
Definitely.
Are very toxic. And the thing is, these drugs are not the cure for cancer. If they were the cure, we would have the cure, right?
Yes.
So surgery and chemotherapy and radiation are not the cure for cancer. In fact, I know, my gosh, I have an incredible gentleman that had testicular cancer, and he had a lot of radiation, and it ended up causing what's called avascular necrosis, and it killed the blood supply in his hips. And he was literally having a hard time walking or getting up off the toilet, you know, something that we all take for granted.
Right.
So the therapies that we have are not, they're not the cure, and they're very, very hard on the body. And just the emotional impact of waiting until you have a diagnosis and you qualify for your insurance to pay for chemotherapy or to pay for surgery or to pay for radiation or to pay for one of these cancer therapies. It's just it's the wrong approach. I would much rather have someone do one of the tests in my book and find out, gee, I am so early on, I could run down here to the hospital and they won't even be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when the body can really heal. You know, our creator did not put us here on an earth that would not sustain us. Yes, it's a fallen world and there's disease around us. But there are so many things that can kill cancer stem cells. There are so many living enzymes in raw foods that can help our body to heal. There's a lot that we can do to prevent cancer in the first place, because about 5% of cancers, they say, are genetic, meaning that you inherited the propensity from your parents. You know, 90%+ of it, and this has even come out by Harvard, is a preventable lifestyle-driven disease.
Well, that plays into one of my questions that I had planned, which was, I noticed that you're on the board for beatcancer.org, and right on the front of their website, they say just what you told me, that about 90% of all cancer cases can be prevented. Again, another statistic I had no clue about that. So what I got from what I read of your work is detection is way different than we have been thinking, but also prevention. So we don't have tons of time, but would you speak to the prevention aspect a little more, and what can we do?
Absolutely. I really believe that, well, cancer, first of all, let's think, what is it? It is a perfect storm in your body, and it's chemicals and stress and different factors that can cause a genetic mutation. Because very few people are born with cancer. However, with that said, we are having babies now born with cancer.
We
can test the urine of pregnant women, and there will be, you know, 50, 60 pesticides in their urine. So even our babies are being bombarded. But the cool thing is, and the hope for that is, that if you get on an organic diet, within 4 or 5 days, you clear your urine of those pesticides. I mean,
wow.
The body is so remarkably made, but we live in a world that is so fast-paced.
Yes.
We want our food to last on the shelf, you know, for weeks, not just, like what our parents ate years ago. We've extended the life shelf of our foods.
Yeah.
We have put lots of chemical preservatives in our food. And so the first thing we have to do is we have to use wisdom, and we have to go back to the Bible. The Bible really is our guidebook. It's our operating manual for our life.
Yes.
And the Lord says, not too fast, but when you fast. And I really believe that if everybody put fasting or intermittent fasting and drank good clean water with some fresh lemon and got their sunshine, he put the sun in the sky, not just for light. It feeds our plants with photosynthesis. We grow our foods that way, but mm-hmm. it's also good for our skin to make vitamin D. If we can just get back to basics and stop with all the processed foods, and I have to really watch myself because I was just, you know, at another country last week with my son's wedding, mm-hmm. and I was kept thinking, where are they getting some of these foods from? But I definitely made my way over they had like papaya and fresh mango and pineapple has great enzymes. And so I made sure I ate a big pile of those, big pile of those vegetables every day, and I put fresh lime juice on it. But we really have to make sure that we're taking care of our temple physically. And it's really hard, and it takes an effort because I'm holding a study right here in my hand, or it's actually an article written by Sayer G. It's 25 cancer stem cell killing foods that are smarter than chemo and radiation.
Wow.
And I'll read that title, 25 cancer stem cell killing foods that are smarter than chemo and radiation. But we're not eating those. Those are in the foods that got created. But most of us have a very limited, you know, we some people eat asparagus or Brussels sprouts, maybe some lettuce and tomato and cucumber. It's very limited what we eat. But boy, if you eat some mint and you add the turmeric or curcumin, cherries, lavender, they're all peppermint and black pepper is an incredible substance that kills cancer stem cells. Salicinium is one. Silibinin is another one. Your solic acid and thyme. When we started mass producing our foods, I feel that we really lost some of these incredible phytonutrients that are in so many of just some of the substances that I just called off. And then we also eat a very cooked diet. And there's living enzymes in food. And once you heat your food over about 106, 107 degrees, you lose those enzymes that help us to break down the food and pull the nutrients out. So, I mean, we can have a beautiful fish tank, but if we give our fish some kind of food that the fish can't digest, and the fish isn't going to do well in that tank. So we might look good on the outside, but we really need to take better care of the inside. I would tell you, probably half of the people, if not more, are walking around constipated, which means you're storing toxins. I mean, we should be having 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. We should be fasting, like I spoke of before, and giving our body a chance to cleanse out those toxins. We need to be getting good sleep, and you know the main thing is don't rely on your yearly physical because we don't have the right plan in this country. I love talking about Dr. Kobayashi in Japan. Mm-hmm. He, for, the last 5 or 6 decades, has been testing all of his patients with some of the tests that are in my book, looking for different enzyme levels and antibody levels that come up in your body when you have a cancer issue in response to those cells that are working incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And he has a kind of like a little staging system, and it's 1 through 5. So when you first come up on his scale, you're a stage 1, and at the very worst, you're a stage 5. Now listen to this, because this is incredible. When you are a stage 5, which is the very worst for Dr. Kobayashi scale in Japan, you are just now a stage 1 here in the United States.
Oh my gracious. We have
the tools. We have a way to let people know, but I think people don't want to know that they're on this path because, I'm sorry, 1 out of 2 men and women are going to get this diagnosis. We cannot stick our head in the sand. It's time for us to stand up with, you know, we need to put on our warrior hats and we need to say enough. We are not going to let this steal our joy and take our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and children away from us, because these people have a purpose that was written in heaven before they were ever conceived in their mother's womb.
Amen.
And they're being taken out by a disease that we have our head in the sand and we're waiting for it to get to a stage one here in the U.S. when we know for years, you could find it early. And, you know, people will say to me, Jenny, nobody wants to know they have cancer. And I say, true, nobody wants to know. But wouldn't it be great if you had a heads up that there are some things you could do, like start getting in a sauna a couple of days a week, really, really just hone in on the things that we know to do to take care of our bodies, eat a lot of these cancer stem-celling substances or supplement with them. I have a little free resource on my website that people can download called Living Cancer Free Made Simple. And it will tell you a lot of these things that you can do. And it's just, I don't ever want to see anyone get that diagnosis, because it's really, it's really hard to describe the feeling when you get that diagnosis, because it's a very lonely place to be. And I see it shake people's faith. But, you know, God didn't give us cancer. He didn't give us any of these things. But we are told to be overcomers, and that we can be overcomers. And, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak to us and guide us through a really tough situation. And my mission is to keep people from getting in a really scary place in the first place. I'd like to see cancer just wiped off the face of the earth. And I'm not sure we're ever going to be told what the cure is. But I think we can do it if we flip the paradigm over and get after it before it ever becomes something big and scary.
We talk so much about, even in this series, we've talked about getting through and what the journey is like after diagnosis, but I love that you're bringing up how we might never get that diagnosis, or we can catch it so early that the problem isn't nearly as severe. So
right, and the cool thing about that is you don't qualify for chemotherapy.
Yeah,
they're not going to give you chemotherapy unless you have a tumor that lights up on a PET scan or something they can stick a needle in. Mm-hmm. I guess mainly the new term is liquid biopsy for some of the tests that I'm talking about. Because when we think of a biopsy, we think of, oh my gosh, they're going to stick a needle in and pull tissue out.
Yes.
And I'm going to be bruised.
Scary word, yeah.
Right, but this is a blood test. So we call it a liquid biopsy. And I have a point I'd like to bring up that really sometime will take someone who's listening to me and they think, oh, this can't be possible.
Yes.
And I'm going to convince you of it, because we have all of these. If cancer is really the tumor, and the tumor is the place that we have to attack, let's say it's in the liver or wherever it is, and you go to one of our big cancer institutions now, and they have you stick your arm out and they do a blood draw. And they draw one of these genomic tests that are becoming very popular. And then 2 weeks later, you get a report all about your cancer cells. They did not stick a needle in your tumor. They got it from a blood draw out of your arm, which means that validates the science that I have in my book that I try and just educate people with, that once that tumor is 1 or 2 millimeters, cells are already going around in your bloodstream.
All over. Oh.
And that's how it gets left behind when you have clean surgical margins. So with that said, there are other simple tests that are just antibodies that will show up in your blood that the body produces when there's a cancer problem. IV Gene Labs in April of here 2019 just released a brand new test that is specific to liver cancer that your doctor can order for you. And if you have had hepatitis or you have cirrhosis of the liver or fatty liver, all of these people are at higher risk for liver cancer. But so why do you want to wait for someone to do a scan on you and tell you, oh, we've got some lesions in your liver, when you could do this simple test that can find it years before you would ever have a positive scan? And you can work with an integrative or a functional person. You can really seek the Lord in prayer. He can direct our steps. He has shed more tears probably, or has collected every tear for every person who has gone through this horrific disease of being a cancer patient. So there's just, you know, in Research Genetic Cancer Center, amazing test, blood test. They
That's
can
incredible.
Find the cancer in your blood, you know, 3 to 5 years before you would be told you had it here in the U.S.
Now, Jenny, do you know people? Excuse me for interrupting. Do you know individuals? I know you're the scientist, and so you know that you've studied all this and you know the statistics. But what about people? Do you know someone who, because they followed these principles, their cancer was caught early? Is there a story like that?
What we would say is they have remained cancer free by the formal cancer machine that diagnoses cancer. Okay. Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. I've had my husband's blood tested just to make sure he's not on a path, because the body was created to heal. It can heal. If you're growing cancer, there's something in your life that's causing that mutation. And this is a warning signal to clean things up, mm-hmm. look at things, and let the body redirect and let your immune system get in there, kill, and knock out those tiny little micro metastases. I can give you an example of a lady that had twins, and she did one of the tests in my book, and she was told she had ovarian cancer, very early stage. Mm. And she got on it with diet and lifestyle and fasting and enzyme therapy, which you can do orally, eating lots of basically a lot of living raw food. To this day, she still has no diagnosis of ovarian cancer.
The body
can heal.
Yes,
I promise you, the body can heal. And we're just, instead of when we get the diagnosis, instead of letting it heal, we throw a bunch of toxic therapies at it that really obliterate your immune system. So much chemotherapy is cardiotoxic. It damages the heart muscle. And it just wipes out your immune system, and then you've got so much to rebuild when you're done, but they don't help you rebuild it. They say, okay, we'll see you in 6 months. And then after a while, they'll say, okay, well, now you get to go a year. But you're out there with the body that's been damaged, that's been burnt, that's been
attacked.
The immune system is even weaker than it was when you got the diagnosis. Because we think we need to poison the therapy. The therapy needs to poison the patient. But, with that said, I would love to speak. There are some amazing therapies out there, some immune therapies that are saving lives. They're super expensive. Many of them are in clinical trials.
Yes.
But maybe I can kind of wrap this up with the story. I was at a conference probably 6 or 8 months ago out in Florida, and I spoke. And then maybe 4 months later, my phone rang. And I'll be honest, I don't always answer if I don't know who it is, because answering the people I know who it is time consuming. But
yes.
I answered, and it was this gentleman. And he said, "Hey, Jenny, I don't know if you remember me, but I was in your small group at the Best Answer for Cancer conference, mm-hmm. and you mentioned a test called Guardant 360. And he said, I had stage four colon cancer that had spread throughout my body.
Ooh.
And I went to my doctor. He said, when you said that, his spirit jumped. And he went to his doctor, and he actually told his doctor, I want the test. The doctor said, no, it's too late. You're on hospice. Just go home. And he literally told the doctor, he says, I'm going to promise you, if you don't get me this test and I die, my wife is going to get an attorney and come after you. That's what he told the guy. And actually, he told me a lot of other things that he said that I don't want to repeat, because this man was in such fear. He was fighting for his life and for his family's, his family was going to have to live on without him. But anyway, the doctor gave in and ordered the test.
Okay.
He found that he had this mutation that matched one of these new targeted therapies. It was something with the BLU-277, something like that.
Okay.
He got in the trial, and he was calling me to tell me that he wasn't having bowel movements. He was gaining weight. His doctor couldn't believe how great he was. And this
That's
was
amazing.
Actually a trial for a different type of cancer. It wasn't even being offered to him. But because he insisted and got that test, they found a match. They put him in it. And I've checked in with him 2 or 3 times later. And he's back working out at the gym.
Praise
he is
the Lord.
Doing fantastic. So we have to fight for ourselves, because
Amen.
Just because insurance isn't going to cover something and it's not in the standard of care, there may be something for colon cancer, which will help your lung cancer, and you're going to have to fight for it. But what I say is, let's fight and stand up for our rights and for our health and defend our health before we ever get in that situation.
Amen.
And really start to, you know, make sure that we don't ever get ourselves in this place. It's a terrible, terrible place to be. And I'm sure anyone who has had cancer or has watched a family member go through it, you know, completely agrees with that. And we have another route. We have other options that we can do to keep our body healthy. And
you're helping equip people with that. And I am. You've done that on this podcast.
Right. And people will ask me, they'll say, Jenny, why doesn't my doctor give me one of these circulating tumor cell counts or one of these liquid biopsies after I'm through with my therapy? And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because it would most likely be positive, and it would show that the therapy they gave you, which you wanted so much to believe was a cure, was not successful, that you still have some of those cells and you still have some work to do, which can easily be done if you just know you have
the work
to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jenny, for all the information. And I love the balance, because believers know that the body, the soul, and the spirit are connected. And it seems to me that you touch on all of that with the help that you're giving us. So thank you. And of course, we encourage you to check out her book, Cancer Free, Are You Sure? And we encourage you to check out her website. But Jenny, I just want to thank you again. And one thing, if I love to have our guests pray for our listeners. And would you, before we go, would you be willing to do that for us, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Lord, let's just declare your word over everyone that's hearing the sound of our voices. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will restore your health and I will heal your wounds. Father, I thank you that you have provided a way out, Lord, that you created us, and you said after our creation and after everything around us that it is good. Lord,
yes.
We come into agreement that all your creation is good, Lord, and we ask you to show us how to take better care of ourselves, how to navigate through all the pitfalls that are here on this earth, Lord. I thank you that people are listening to this message right now, Lord, and that their heart will be quickened so that they can cut cancer off at the pass, Lord, or that they can share this message with others, Lord, and healing and restoration can come forth across this land. Father, we speak death to cancer at its very root.
Yes.
Father, we know that it is not from you. Because if things are not love, joy, peace, they are not from you. They are from our enemy. And everything that comes from him, Lord, we reject it. We send it back to the pit of hell where it belongs.
Yes.
Lord, I speak health and vitality, and I speak healing over everyone who is listening to this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you again, Jenny. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and we hope you'll look for other shows in this positive, encouraging, and hopeful series.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.